Stop focusing on you. And by that, I do not mean don't care about yourself. I think sometimes, even as Christians, it's like you just plow through. You don't worry about yourself. It's give always to others and that kind of thing. But you need to take care of yourself. You know, Christians are not above the idea of just being overwhelmed with life. And so when I say stop focusing on you, it's not don't take care of yourself, because that's something that I think sometimes we don't do well. But it's stop focusing on you in the negative sense, where so often, even when we talk about unbelief, we focus on ourself, or we focus on the giant in ourself, and we get our eyes off God, which is the one that can really make the difference. So stop focusing on you is the sense of in difficult spot, you're the last person you need to focus on. Okay? All right, here we go. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, just to reinforce, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. I want to begin the service today by looking at some words that Jesus spoke. And he said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me." And I just wanted to take a minute this morning for us all to ponder where we stand in light of those words. And I think we're all over the place. I think some people absolutely believe. I think some people struggle to believe. I think some people wish they could believe. And I think some people just don't believe. And they're all in this room. But Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me." And so my question for you today is, are you one of the ones who believes in Jesus? Not just, you know, even for his disciples, when he was in the Bible, we read the story, he was obviously there, real flesh and blood, but was he the Son of God? That was the big question. And so for us, we stand back and look at the big picture. Do we really believe who Jesus was? Do we really believe in him, that he's the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that even now he sits at the right hand of God, and then one day he's coming back? Do we believe that? So the question is for all of us, where do you stand in this area of belief? Whoever believes in me, and wherever you are is, I guess, where you are, but I want to just encourage you in this sense. But for those of you who would say, I believe, I really believe, I want you to hear these next words. So here's Jesus: "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing." Now, when you read that first part, it's just like, whoever believes in me, hey, that's me. That's me. I do. I really do. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I believe in you. Jesus goes on to say, "We'll do the works that I have been doing." And so I want us to think about what it means to believe in Jesus, and that there's some kind of implications to our life. It's not just that we can say, I believe, and a lot of people live that way. I believe in Jesus. But Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. So we're challenged by, well, what does that mean for us? So if I do believe, well, what does this mean for me? And we're going to kind of flesh it out a little bit with the idea of not focusing so much on us. But I want to look at kind of the whole, this little passage that I was thinking about for the sermon this morning. So Jesus is speaking. We were talking, we've been kind of in John, and Jesus is just about ready to be betrayed and ultimately go to the cross. And he's talking to the disciples, and he says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And I think when he's talking about greater things than these, he's not just talking about as you compare one great thing with another, but the fact that Jesus' ministry was relatively small. He just stayed in the small nation of Israel, and he just, basically, he didn't, you know, he was just really a little bit of area. So he says, If you believe in me, you're going to do what I have been doing. And actually, you're going to do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And then he says, because I'm going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may be glorified, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That is a fantastic verse if we just take it all by itself. When that big blonde-haired Russian kid is chasing me around the gym, Lord Jesus, make him disappear. Wonderful. Wonderful. Or even better, make him slip on some sweat or something, you know, kind of. But he doesn't always answer prayers like that. So we have to struggle with this idea, Jesus saying, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And he just states that very strongly. And I think in the sense that he understood that people were going to struggle with this. But again, let me just read it all together. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. So if you're a believer here today, again, hear it. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And all of us are stuck because we're thinking, how am I going to do greater things than these? And our focus is where? It's on us. I can't do that. I'm not capable of that. I don't know enough. I'm not gifted enough. And so we kind of just shut it off. Jesus goes on to say, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring, so that the Father may be, I'm having trouble with that part. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. How many people are familiar with the name Jack Hayford? Kind of dating myself. I don't even know if Jack Hayford's still alive. If he is, he's probably pretty old. But he's this incredible pastor. I think he's in the Assemblies of God Church. And he wrote a book called Prayer is Invading the Impossible. And at the time he wrote the book, it's an old book. It's funny, every now and then I'll get it out, and it's like every time I turn a page, it comes out of the thing. It's an old paperback book. But it was during a time where it was the idea that, listen, God has promised us this great power. When we pray, we just pray. We believe God does it. It doesn't matter if it's sickness. It doesn't matter if it's financial. Whatever your issue is, you pray. You believe in God. Bam! And I like that. They talked about, kind of classified that idea a little bit, and kind of name it and claim it. You name it, believe in Jesus' name, boom, you're going to have it. Jesus said, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So even as Jack Hayford wrote this book, he's dealing with this dilemma of, well, how does this really work in life? Now, you got to hold on to this, because actually the message is on prayer. But I'm going to read you a little kind of an extended quote from him. Are you ready? Okay. This is good enough to copy down or write down. So here's Jack Hayford thinking about prayer, thinking about praying in great faith that God is going to answer what you pray. And it really encouraging people to pray and believe that God can help you. To understand that even though it seems impossible in front of you, that God is bigger than what's impossible. Okay? So he says this, we worry about knowing exactly what to pray in some cases because we think we know what to pray in all the others, which is a very interesting thought. We worry about knowing exactly what to pray in some cases because we think we know what to pray in all the others, and we may at times. But aren't there many times that we have asked imperfectly? God was not befuddled. Our ignorance did not clog the wheels of the universe. When we are uncertain as how to pray boldly, we may ask. When we are uncertain as to how boldly we may ask, here's what we're really saying. I'm afraid to ask for this because I might confuse the Almighty. I may just force his hand to violate his own eternal purposes and suddenly bring our world to a screeching halt with my mightiness of faith that has secured an answer on earth which God really did not want to give. It is as though somehow we think a cosmic accident may occur if we invade heaven with a request that would somehow slip through the machinery of providence without being checked out carefully. And I love this picture. Somehow God would find himself glancing toward earth saying, "How did I ever let that happen? I must be more careful about my answers to prayer." And he's kind of making a joke, but he's saying, listen, when you pray, God wants you to believe that he is able to answer that prayer and to pray with a confidence. But you think, well, I don't know if that is his will. It's a good question. But Jack Hayford is saying, listen, man, we need to pray with confidence, not in ourselves, but in God. And so he says, you know what, we're getting all worried like somehow we're going to pray for something boldly and in great faith and it's going to mess up the whole universe. Now this is the good part. The last little bit is just an introduction. But you ask, what if my request isn't appropriate to God's will? What if I'm asking for something that I shouldn't? And he says this, and this is what I just love so much. The discovery of God's perfect will won't happen by excursions of human reason, assertions of man-made theology, or personal opinions about how I think God does or ought to do things. To the contrary, the Bible tells us how to discover his will through praying. Through praying, not how to find his will and then pray. You guys aren't looking good enough. Like that wasn't the discovery of God's perfect will. I don't even know why I'm doing this. I was doing something the other day. I had my hand in the air. Carrie said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't have any idea." It was just up there. I was just kind of feeling my fingernail. She said, "What are you doing?" I don't know. Anyway. So the discovery of God's perfect will won't happen by excursions of human reason, assertions of man-made theology, or personal opinions about how I think God does or ought to do things. To the contrary, the Bible tells us how to discover his will through praying, not how to find his will and then pray. If you're going through something difficult, pray. But pray with confidence that the God of the universe can do something for you. And you say, well, what if I'm asking? Well, God takes care of all that. So that's significant for us. Because I want us to think about the fact that Jesus says, listen, if you believe in me, you're going to do the works I've been doing. Matter of fact, you're going to do even greater things than these. Matter of fact, I'm going to the Father. Matter of fact, if you ask me for anything in my name, I'll do it. You're thinking, wow, that would seem like God is really expecting us to make a difference in this world. I wish I could remember the quote better, but I recently read an article. It was talking about that churches tend to focus on meeting a need, not so much making a difference. You need a can of food, here's a can of food. You need this, here's this. As opposed to, listen, let me tell you the greatest news that you could ever know. The God of the universe loves you. And that you can have a relationship with him through his son. And so churches tend to focus on a need as opposed to making a difference, really seeing people's lives changed and transformed. And so I want us to think, not thinking about ourselves, not focusing on ourselves, some prayers that we could pray with a sense of confidence. There's so many more. I just put a few down here today just for your thought, just for you to think about. Maybe one of them makes a difference to you. If it does, maybe write it in your journal or something and pray it every morning. Okay, are you ready? Just a few ideas. But this is what John says about prayer. He says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. That's one of my favorite verses on prayer. So here's what I want us to all think about as we think about Jesus saying, for the person who believes in me, he will do the works that I have been doing. And this is something I think we should all pray for. Pray to understand more fully what it means to be a child of God. Pray to understand more fully what it means to be a child of God. Sometimes I don't think we get it. I tell you what, I've spent so much of my life trying to do everything right to be at peace with God. Maybe some of you are like me, just trying to do everything right to be at peace with God. You're trying to keep all the rules. You're trying to do the disciplines, spiritual disciplines in your life to the maximum. Now, none of those things are wrong, but you don't have peace with God through those things. And so for us, pray to understand more fully what it means to be a child of God. And not to be a stepchild of God, but to be a child of God. Has there ever been a family that you wanted to be a part of? Now, this has nothing to do with my family, it's just my personality, but there were all kinds of families I wanted to be a part of. And they all had snowmobiles and motorcycles in them. You know, I'm thinking, oh, if I could be in that family. Well, there is an incredible family that we should want to be a part of more than any other, and we can be a part of that family. But I think sometimes we act like, now, let me just make this declaration. I am part of the family of God. I'm convinced of it. I hope if a gun was put to my head, I would say whatever it said to say, hey, this is who I am. Do whatever you want. But this idea that pray to understand more fully what it means to be a child of God, this sense that it is great to be a part of. So I want to give you a couple verses. Because I think sometimes we just tend to think being a child of God means what? What does it primarily mean? Going to heaven, or maybe being forgiven, or being forgiven and go to heaven. That's just like saying, hey, come and be a part of my family. It's going to be really good at the end. When you die, you're going to be really glad you were part of the family. I think it means more than that. So pray to understand more fully what it means to be a child of God. Now, one of the things that I'm trying to say, even as I think about this, is because if we really understand how great it is to be a child of God, then somehow we're going to be able to communicate that to some people. But I think when I think about people in the church, some people just seem very good at communicating their feelings. And some of you aren't so good at communicating your feelings. And so you hear a sermon in church and you think, oh, that God's going to miraculously make you great at communicating your feelings. Not necessarily so. But there's nobody in here that can't talk to somebody else. There's nobody in here that can't be excited about something and share that excitement with somebody else. Is there? I've never met anybody. That's just like I said, if I don't care how quiet I am, if I win the lottery, I'm sharing it. And I might not share it with everybody, but if I'm sitting someplace, there's a good chance I'm going to bring that up. So pray that you understand what it means to be a child of God. A couple verses. Because you are his children, and because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, we've all had different kinds of dads. There may be somebody here who doesn't even know their father. There's certainly people in the world that don't know their father. There's certainly people in the world that have awful fathers. But here Paul is talking about the idea of being a children of God, and that God is so close that we can literally call him Daddy. There can be this closeness. And then this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be confident of our relationship with God because of Jesus. If we focus on ourselves, we don't become very confident. If we focus on ourselves, we start doubting. We think, well, I didn't do this as well as I thought, and I think I lost my temper there, and I should have gone left, and I went right, and we just, our peace is gone. Paul says we have peace with, we are justified through faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this one. Pray to be free from fear. Fear of what is coming and fear of what God is asking you to do. Because even as we think about Jesus saying, listen, if you believe in me, you're going to do the works that I have been doing. I think God is going to put us into some scenarios that maybe are potentially scary. Now, if you're a parent and you're trying to keep your child from ever experiencing fear, what does that look like? I mean, we do it. I kind of wish my parents did it more. I remember one time going with this man, connected to our family some strange, weird, small way. We're driving, we're hauling a trailer from Michigan to Indiana. And I'm going along for the ride, getting paid to keep this man awake. First thing we do, we leave town, we get about 10 miles out of town, and he forgot to put the thing down on the trailer. So the first thing that happens is the thing bounces off the hitch and goes skidding down the road. So we get that up, hook it together, we're going, and we get down in Indiana, and this guy, didn't we describe him, just dark complected, dark skin, looks like a little mustache, and he's kind of lost, and that was the day of the CB. So he's, hey, break 1-9, this is the Black Stallion or whatever, looking to, you know. And he was not a big CB person, so somebody started making fun of him. I never heard so many explicatives. I mean, I heard words I never even heard before. And I remember thinking, what in the world are my parents doing me sending me with this man? But so many, we just try to keep our children from fear. That isn't practical. Life is hard. Life can be fearful. Your life can be fearful. Your life will be fearful. I mean, you're at least going to face things that want to cause fear. So pray to be free from fear. Lord Jesus, help me to be free from fear. Fear that's coming and fear from what you might ask me to do. I mean, I look at the scenarios of some people's life and I say, God, don't ever do that to me. There's no way I'll be able to take it. Who am I focusing on? I'm focusing on me. So even for us, fear is a part of life. You can't get rid of it. But God can help us overcome it. Here's Jesus' words. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then he says this, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Oh, I forgot to put the last part. But it says, in this world you will have trouble. Anyway, it's in there. Trust me. Look it up. And then John 14:20. Listen to this. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever believes in me will do the work that I have been doing. You think, how? There's no way. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So don't be afraid. Now, again, I want to yell, because this is a great point. And I don't think we get it, but unfortunately, you can't yell it into somebody. But that's why we pray, God, keep me free from fear. Fear for what's coming and fear for maybe what you're asking me to do, because I don't think I can do it. You say, well, what's my basis of my confidence? It's this. On that day, you'll realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Pray that God's power will be seen in and through your life. This is what I was trying to say a couple sermons ago, and I didn't feel like you got it, so I thought I'd just throw it in here. It's this. I think sometimes we look at the Bible and we see Peter and John, and they look at the beggar. Matter of fact, we're going to even look at a verse about that, and we're going to say that just is not me. It could never happen to me. Maybe so. Maybe so. But here's what I believe. We all have a life, and the lives are all different. And some of us go through death and loss and suffering and disease and betrayal and all these kind of things, and everybody's life looks differently. But you know what I keep thinking? That God says, listen, if you will focus on me, I will take that life of yours, which is unique and filled with all kinds of things, but I'm going to be activated in such a way that people will be able to see I'm alive through your life. So we don't have to pray, God, give me a lame beggar by somebody's doorstep so I can heal them. God says, listen, in your life, there's all kinds of opportunities for me to show my love and power. And when you think about the New Testament, people were drawn to Christ because of the power that they saw at work. Paul says, when he's talking about the gospel, he says, listen, this isn't just about words. That's the thing that can be so frustrating even here on Sunday morning. It just feels like a thing of words. But God does real things. Has anybody in here experienced God's touch in their life? Yeah, me too. And so when it happens, God can use your regular, normal life to make a difference in somebody else's. So don't be sad that you got a normal life. But pray that God's power will be seen in your life. So people can, you know, one of the things I've been doing studies. I just finished with my classes in seminary. And I told Carrie yesterday, I said, I feel so different. I feel so good, so pure, even though I think I failed. No, I don't think I did, but I hope I didn't anyway. But I just feel so free. But I shouldn't have said that because now I forgot where I was going. Pray that God's power will be seen in and through your life. That's all right. I'll probably think of it next one. So here's an example. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? This is what he's sharing after they heal the beggar. Peter says, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And again, I think, how does this passage fit in our lives? Again, I doubt that anybody is going to pray for a beggar at somebody's doorstep or at the church step or, but it seems to me like this is something for us to learn. That God can use normal people to do incredible things. Why? Because it's God at work in us. It isn't us. He goes on to say, to explain what happened, he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. And I'm just thinking, just as a church and as a people and even as a pastor, one of you, I'm just thinking, God, do something. Show your power in my life. You know, it's interesting. I did this study on the community and different things. And I was asking people about church, and a lot of unchurched people were saying, I want nothing to do with church, nothing to do with church. But it was interesting. I asked all of them, do you have close friends that are Christians? They all said yes. And they were affirmative about those relationships. And they had all been invited to church. But I think, you know what? Are people seeing? I mean, we're good people. I feel like I'm a good person. There was a man, my neighbor the other day, was picking crabgrass out of his yard. Now, I didn't do it, but I'm so nice, I thought about going over there and helping him pull that crabgrass out of his yard. I mean, literally, without an invitation. I thought, you know what? Maybe that would be a nice thing to do. Unfortunately, I'm always someplace else. Can't help them. But I'm thinking, Christians are nice. But I think God's plan is that his power be made manifest in our life. You say, well, how is that going to happen? I don't know. Maybe it's going to be when you go through the deepest, darkest time of your life. Maybe then. Or maybe God's going to say something to you and say, I want you to do that thing. You think, well, it doesn't make sense to me, and I'm a little afraid to do it, and it could have some negative consequences, and so I'm going to abstain. It's amazing what a small thing can mean when you do it in God's timing. And I've shared this before, but I was in church service with a girl that I invited. God was speaking to her heart. The altar call was given. She was resisting God. The pastor kept saying things. Now, I don't know if he was watching me, but he kept describing what was going on in the pew with me and this girl. Like, you really want to come? And then he started saying, there's somebody standing next to somebody who really wants to come, and they're crying, and they're doing this. And I'm like, no, you know, all this stuff. He was describing this whole thing. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't ask her. I couldn't say, hey, do you want to go to the altar and pray? Now, I had invited her so God might move in her life. That's the reason I had invited her. And then when the moment came, I couldn't do it. And then here's what she told me the next day, and I've shared this with you before because I just can't, it just shapes my life. The next day before school, we're kind of hanging around, and she said, you know what? I really wanted to go to the altar yesterday in church. And I said, you know, I think I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I knew. I said, but you know what? You don't have to pray in church. And she said, yeah, it's just kind of like, for her, it was just kind of like the moment had passed. And I don't know what's going to happen in her life. I do know this, is that I'm sure if I would have done what God wanted me to do, something different would have happened. And I'm not the only one that happens to. And so then we also want to do this. Pray that your life will bear fruit. Jesus says it's to God's glory that we bear fruit. But again, I think so many of us, we're living life, we're trying to be good people, we're trying to be nice people, trying to make a living, trying to be good church folk. And we forget about this idea where Jesus says, listen, if you believe in me, and that's the question for all of us, because most of us here would say, I do. Then Jesus says, then you're going to do the works that I have been doing. And so for all of us, we need to think, well, what does that mean for me? But here's something else. I just looked at somebody. I always wanted to say this. You guys do works in his name. I see them. So I'm not saying we don't or you don't, but I'm saying oftentimes we just get busy and distracted. And let me just say this. When you do something in Jesus' name, don't let the devil steal that from you. You think it isn't a big thing, but maybe it is a big thing. Maybe sending a card is a big thing. Maybe making a phone call is a big thing. So don't let me steal your joy by saying you're not doing it, because some of you are doing it. Maybe we're all doing it. But I'm just saying, pray, God, use my life, bear fruit in my life. As I was studying the statistics of our district, between 35 and like 50% of the time of our churches on our district in any year say they have zero baptisms. There's no baptisms. Sometimes 50% of our churches have zeros in baptisms. And I think, man, that doesn't seem right. And I think, God, pray that we'll bear fruit, that we'll see people come to the Lord. If you're looking around and seeing somebody new in the church, you should say, praise the Lord! Here's Jesus in John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So here's Jesus saying, listen, you didn't choose me, I chose you. If you're a believer, you need to hear Jesus' words to you right now. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I chose you to go and bear fruit. Stop focusing on you, focus on me. Okay, lastly, praise team, can you come on up? I hate to be more excited about my next week's message than this week's, but let me just say something. Now, if you've been around the church at all, you've heard me say this, and talking about the idea that your life counts. And I still remember this point in my life where I felt like God just said, you know what, your life counts. Your life counts in essence, and it counts in your actions. And so we're going to start a series on calling. And we're going to do, starting on the 15th, after the service, we're going to meet downstairs. I'd like everybody to meet downstairs. You know what kills me is sometimes I think, I like everybody, everybody must like me. So this is what I'm going to say. I'm inviting you to go downstairs, and as a church, we're going to study this issue of calling. And you know what I think? Everybody will go because they're my friend. My bubble has completely been burst. But let me just say, you are invited. And we're going to go down there. There's going to be a teaching time. We're going to have tables. It's Sunday school. It's whatever you want it to be. But we're going to learn about calling together. Because here's what I think, that your life counts. That God has gifted you with some spiritual gifts. That God has a mission for you. And it isn't for me to tell you what it is, but God wants to tell you what it is. And so when I say your life counts, I think one of the biggest things for me with all this was this idea that I would look at people Sunday after Sunday and I would think, your life counts. Your life. You say, well, look at all these negatives. Your life still counts. And so I want there to be a sense, if you're a Christian, what in the world does the God of the universe want to do in your life? I believe he's got a calling on everybody's life. Listen, I didn't want to do this, this being this. Part of this I did want to do. The part I wanted to do was to say, you know what, God changed my life. He can change yours. That's the only part I signed up for. The rest of this is just extra. But so anyway, we were going to study this idea. Why does my life count? What is God doing? And we're going to see how kind of God works through all that stuff. So I would really encourage you. We're going to start that next Sunday. But the 15th, we're going to start meeting downstairs. So I encourage you to be a part. But if you'll stand with me, we're going to sing that. I asked Carrie to sing that song again. Okay? Thomas, I don't think you heard me before, but I loved your drums in that. Okay? Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I know when I focus on me, not in the healthy sense, but when I focus on me in the negative sense, I can't do this because, I'll never be able to do this because, I'm always going to be this way because. Father, for all of us, I pray that you'd help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. But Father, even more important, I think, help us to pray. I know you don't want us to fear. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Yep, Father, some of us struggle with fear. I pray that we would start praying about these things. I pray that we would stop worrying about what you might ask us to do and just pray that you would bear fruit in our lives. Father, take the ordinary life that we live and somehow glorify yourself as we love and serve you. And Father, as we sing this song, It's interesting to me as we were singing this, because I was thinking, the music is meant to do something to us, to really encourage us, to really motivate us. And Father, I would pray, not just a kind of an emotional music high, but that you would really encourage us with the words of this song. That even in this difficult, dark time, we can praise you. And Father, instead of fixing our eyes on our own weak selves, I pray that we'd fix our eyes on you. We praise you together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.